If you were listening to the words of that song, what you sort of picked up on, I hope, was that the Lord leaves the 99 to seek after the one because he loves you. It's possible that there's somebody here today who's that one who God is pursuing out of his great love. If you don't know Christ today, then please know this. There is a God in heaven who loves you so very, very much. So much that he sent his son to die for you. Knowing everything you were going to do in your life, knowing every sin you were going to commit, knowing every bad choice you were going to call, he still came and died for you because he loves you that much. If you've been running away from a God of, I don't know, judgmentalism and rules and anger and maybe even hatred, some churches teach God in that respect. I tell you, the God of the Scripture is not that God. The God of the Scripture will leave the 99 to seek and save that which was lost. That's the God of the Bible. And so if you're here today and you're not part of the fold of God, I wonder if maybe God is speaking to you right now. Right now, right now, in the middle of the service, doesn't matter when, right now. Maybe God is speaking to you right now. And he is calling you from darkness to light. He's calling you from death to life. Let me offer you some thoughts on how to respond to that. Just pray, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to pray. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lord, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you resurrected from the grave. And right now I place my faith and my trust in you alone for salvation. I'm not going to trust in the church. I'm not going to trust in Terry. I'm not going to trust in my friends or my family. Jesus, I'm trusting in you alone for salvation. Please forgive me. Please be my God and my King. If you prayed that or something like that for the first time today, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just slip up your hand so I can pray specifically for you. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Anybody. Anybody in this room. Okay? Second, we're about to go into our time in the Word, and it's going to be a time where I believe God is going to speak to some of you in ways you've never heard before. So I wonder if right now you would just be willing and have the courage to say yes to the Lord. Whatever he's going to ask you to do, whatever he's going to move on your heart to do, I wonder if right now you're willing to say yes. Just, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're going to say, but I'm just going to say yes to it. Whatever it is, because I know you're my loving Heavenly Father and I know you have my good in mind. And so I'm just going to say yes right now. Well, Father, as we turn to your word right now, Lord, I just pray that you will speak clearly to our hearts, clearly to our minds, like never before. Lord, we want to hear you today because you are God and King over all. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Well, where are Grace Kids today? Grace Kids, where are you? Let's tell them we love them. They are awesome. Man, that's a good group today, Hunter and Holly. You got a good group. Isn't it a beautiful picture of a healthy church? Amen. That is a beautiful picture of a healthy church, man. I'll tell you. We are so thankful. Well, if you're here today, you know, and you find yourself, Gracie, you're too old. Just like her daddy. Yeah. If you're sitting here today and you find yourself a believer in Christ, then there's something that I know is true because I'm there with you. There have been times in your life when you've wandered far away from the Lord. There have been seasons in your life where you've sort of woken up every day and decided, if God's this way, I'm going that way. It's not that I don't love God. It's just that I'm going to go this way. And there's a lot of things that motivate us to do that. And I don't know, maybe one day we could talk about all those conflicting motivations. But if you're here today and you're honest, you've been down that road. You have woken up before and said, you know, maybe it's subtle. Maybe your rebellion wouldn't be quite as demonstrative as mine has been. But it's still real. I mean, maybe you've woken up and it's been an attitude. Maybe it's been not giving forgiveness to someone. Maybe it's not showing kindness to someone who you're supposed to show kindness to. And that rebellion can look a lot of different ways. But let's be honest, you've woken up at times and you've run the other direction. That's just how it works. But here's the other thing that's true. If you're a believer here today, there have been times in your life where there's been nothing more valuable to you than your walk with the Lord. There have been times when you've been as close to the Lord as you could possibly be. Matter of fact, I would go as far as to say this. There have been times when you've been driving in your car or fishing on the lake or up in your deer stand or doing whatever it is you're doing, and you have said to the Lord in your mind and in your heart, God, I want to hear you speak to me. I want to hear your voice in my life, because whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to follow. There have been times in your journey where you've wanted God to speak more clearly and be more real than the air you breathe. You've been there. Now, some of you are here today, and you might be searching. You know, you're still weighing out, you know, is there a God, what he's about, and what's his address, and how can I know? And so you're here today, and you're saying, well, yeah, if God would speak to me, maybe my life would change. Maybe I would turn a different corner. Maybe I would begin to believe. But it's true. Every human, C.S. Lewis said it like this. We're born with this God-shaped void in our life, and nothing fills that void but the person of God himself. And in that process, we want to hear from God and hear him speak to us. There is nothing more intimate and more personal than hearing someone speak your name who loves you. Don't you love hearing somebody, you know, we love hearing our name, don't we? I love somebody saying, Terry. I don't like them saying, Terry Eugene Wright. That's usually problems. Right, you know, the whole name is not what you want. Terry Eugene Wright, you better blah, blah, blah. You know, push the delete button because I've already messed up, right? So we don't want to hear that, but we do want to hear our name. It's a wonderful thing. Isn't it great when someone we love and respect will communicate with us? When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he didn't come to establish a religion. Now let me define religion. A religion defined is man's attempt to appease a deity. It's the processes and the procedures that man designs to appease a deity. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. There was a lot of it already. Jesus came to establish a relationship, to build a personal indwelling relationship with humanity through the person of the Holy Spirit. And because he came to establish that, the reality of communication is fundamental. That's why, remember, Jesus was with his apostles, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, why did they say that? They said that because they understood that to have a relationship with the Father meant praying correctly. And so, Jesus taught them to pray, and we pray that every communion, right? The Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. But there's two sides to the communication process. There's the sending. Well, actually, there's three parts. There's the sending, there's the message, and then there's the receiver. And in a healthy communication process, that's always shifting and changing because people are sending, receiving different messages that change. So in your Christian walk or in your pursuit of a Christian walk maybe, understand that God wants to communicate with you. He always has, and he always will. He's done it from the very beginning. If you look back in Genesis chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 3, man had sinned. They're hiding because they realize they don't have any clothes on. So God shows up in the garden and he's walking, right? And he says, hey, why are you hiding? They said, oh, well, because we realize we don't have any clothes on. Well, who told you that? Right? Well, you see, it's that process of communication. God even spoke to Adam and Eve right in the wake of sin. Isaiah chapter 6, Uzziah had died, friend of Isaiah's. Pretty good king. They had a lot of bad kings back then. This guy was pretty good as the scale goes, right? And so he was pretty good. So there was a little bit of mourning going on, a lot of sadness. And Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And if you read Isaiah 6, you'll find out there was this wonderful communication that came from the very throne room of God to Isaiah's heart that eventually called him to speak to the people. Then in 2 Samuel 22, you'll hear the prophet say that God spoke to him in a thundering voice from heaven. It was shaking the foundations of the earth. God spoke so loudly. God wants to communicate to you. Now, God is speaking. He's always speaking. But I wonder if you can hear him. Getting ready for this sermon, I listened to hours of teaching on the subject of hearing God's voice. Hours. I mean, hours of stuff. And I will tell you that it ranged everywhere from God doesn't really speak to you today, read the Bible and try to figure it out. That wasn't very hopeful. But it sort of went from that point all the way over to, you know, God's going to show up in your bedroom and tell you what toothpaste to buy, right? And the gamut was there. But there seemed to be a couple of things that were universal in all the teaching. And I want to share those with you. First thing is found in John chapter 10, verse 27. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus is speaking. He says this, "Now my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. You know, by the way, no one will snatch them out of my hand." Wow. Catch that? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. If you're here today and you claim to be a believer, at one point in your life, you will have to have heard God speak to you. Now, it might not be an audible voice. It might not be, you know, a booming voice from heaven or shake the foundation of the house, but some way, somehow, God spoke to your life to let you know that you were lost and separated from God and you needed to know him personally. Now the Lord says here, Jesus says here, sometimes it comes in a still small voice. Well, to hear a still small voice, you got to be still. Let me ask you this. I'm getting old, and forgive me, I'm gonna get a rocking chair up here. I think I'm getting so old, I'm just gonna get a rocking chair. I'm going to kick back in a rocket chair. But the older you get, how many of you would say this is true? The more you like quiet. Do you like quiet? Oh, both ends. I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I like quiet. And the older my kids get and them leaving home, the more quiet it gets, right? But I like quiet. And as I listened to all this teaching over the last few weeks, one of the things that was sort of a universal was this. If you really want to hear from God, this guy said this, I'll never forget. He said, okay, I'm going to tell you how to hear God, but you're not going to like it because it's going to go against the grain of everything you know is reasonable. See, if you want to hear God, this is what you got to do. You need to turn off YouTube, get off Facebook, turn off the TV, shut down your phone and computer, and get alone and quiet before God so you can hear him. Now, that's counter to our culture. But that seemed to be a universal. If you want to hear God, you got to get yourself separate from all the noise to hear him. If God's going to speak to you in a still small voice, you have to be quiet to hear it. If someone's whispering in a loud room, you can't hear them. It's the same way spiritually. If God's going to speak to you in a quiet voice, you've got to be quiet to hear. Get alone with the Lord. Get some quiet with the Lord. Well, when do I do that? And I was taught, I went through a bunch of discipleship stuff when I was in college, and they always said, you got to get up early in the morning before school, you got to hear from the Lord. I tried it. Every semester I tried it. You know what happened? I would get up an hour early. I would wake up an hour later with drool all over my Bible, face planted, sleep. Dead asleep because I wasn't a morning person back then. So I realized if I'm going to spend some time with the Lord, I'm going to have to do it when I'm awake. Does that make sense? So I would do it at lunchtime. And lunchtime worked really well for me. And maybe it would work well for you. If you're busy, if you're working and you can't get up any earlier and you don't really want to go later, let me say this to you. A lunchtime alone with the Lord will be more profitable than eating a sandwich. It will mean more in your life to spend that time alone with the Lord than to go eat with your buddies. That time alone, sitting in the car with the air on, with the air on, say, Lord, I'm here, speak to me. I'm being quiet, speak to me. Opening God's word, saying, God, speak to me I want to hear you speak to me. Guess what? That will be more profitable than anything else you can do in your lunchtime. You want to hear from God? You want your life to be different? You want to know God in a personal, deep way that's more real than the air you breathe? Then here's what you got. You ready? You got to be still. And you got to get before the Lord. And you got to be alone with Him. Now, I'll say this and we'll move on to the others quickly. You might be afraid of that. And let me tell you why you might be afraid of that. Here's what we know. People who deal with people. If you're not comfortable with yourself, listen, if you're not comfortable with yourself and you're not comfortable with the Lord, you hate being alone. Being alone is a scary thing for you. That quietness is a loud scream that you're not okay. So if you're here today and there's conflict between you and the Lord, that quiet time is going to be a way that God's going to convict you of that and bring you from repentance, you know, back into full relationship. He's going to do that. And He's going to work on the stuff inside of you. So the first way God's going to speak to you very well may be through that still, small voice. Will it be audible? Some people claim to hear audible voice. That's never been my experience, but some people do. But I'll tell you what it will be. At least it will be this, a knowing. It will be a clear knowing. It will be a spiritual knowing. You will know in your heart. Listen, if you're a Christian here today and you walk with the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. You've had that experience. You've wanted to make this decision, but God said no, and you knew it. Didn't know why, but you knew it. You wanted to go this way, and God said yes, and you knew it. God spoke it in your heart, and you knew it. It was the Holy Spirit speaking clearly to your heart and your mind. You just have to listen. Henry Blackaby wrote a study called Experiencing God, and one of the principles of Experiencing God is this, that God is always at work, so our job is to find out what He's doing and get involved with Him. Don't ask Him to bless our mess, right? Get involved with Him and what He's doing because it's already blessed. God is an active God. God is a God who's on the move. He's a God who communicates to His children because He loves us. So be still and listen. God speaks to us in a still, small voice. 1 Kings chapter 19 reminds us of that over and over. John 10 says that He will speak to us and we will know His voice. Another way that God speaks to us, because listen, the struggle's real. Struggle is real in trying to hear God. I get it. It's a loud world. It's a noisy world. And it's a world where there's a lot of competing voices. And the struggle is real. But God wants to speak. So He'll speak through that still, small voice. He'll also do this. He'll speak through other people. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the book of Jonah, just the whole book, because it's really just one story, right? And the book of Jonah is great. You know why? Because God used somebody to speak to people that didn't really want to be used and didn't really like the people He was going to speak to. Isn't that awesome? Jonah was prejudiced against the Ninevites, didn't like them, right? Didn't really want to be bothered, but God bothered him, and then God sent him, and he spoke to the Ninevites, and they were all converted, as you well know, and the city was saved. And Jonah whined. He went outside the city, sat on a hill, started whining, and then God had to deal with him there too. But what I love about the story is God uses other people. God uses other people to speak His message to other people. You want to hear God's voice? You want God to speak to you? He may use other people to speak that word to you. That's why it's so vitally important for you to be involved in a fellowship and in a church where other people are walking with the Lord who want to be used by the Lord. It's so important for you to be in that situation where God can raise someone up and bring someone into your life who may speak exactly what you need to hear, exactly when you need to hear it. One of my best friends is a guy named Dan Doster. He lives up in North Carolina. And Dan spoke a word to me last week from the Lord that I desperately needed to hear. I was depressed. My brain was a mess, and I wasn't doing great in between my ears. And man, I needed somebody to lovingly put their foot in my backside and say some things to me that weren't comfortable to hear. Anybody ever need that? How many of you don't want to admit it in church? Right? We all need it. Everybody needs it. Nobody's immune. And my friend said some things to me that were desperately needed. You know, God may want to use people to speak in your life. Now, I want to warn you about some things and give you just a little bit of guidance on this. Because there's a lot of people who will say, oh yeah, God told me to tell you. And God no more told them to tell you than He did call me to be a nun, right? I mean, But there are people out there who want to volunteer that to you. So I will tell you that there's danger sometimes when people come to you in the name of the Lord, because they're not always in the name of the Lord. So here are some things that have to be true, I think, for it to truly be of the Lord. First of all, you got to be open to it. You got to be open to it. God's not going to kick your door down to speak to you. You have to be open to it. You have to be willing. Probably you've been in prayer. God, I'm confused. God, I need direction. God, I need a word of peace. God, I need to know something. God, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what direction to make. Would you bring someone into my life to speak to me? Somebody wise, somebody faithful, somebody of the word. Would you please do that, Lord? See, if you're open like that, then you know what? God moves somebody in. But if you've not prayed or been open to anything, and somebody's just, hey, got a word from God for you, could be. But I'd be a little suspicious. Second, it will never disagree with Scripture. No one's ever going to come to you and tell you to do something against God's word. Ever, 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 ever. It is not from the Lord. God does not contradict his word. If somebody comes to you and says, God told me for you to do A, B, C, X, Y, Z, and you know it's against God's word, it is not of God, period. I'm not saying they're a bad person. I'm not saying they don't mean well. I'm simply saying that word they delivered to you is not from God, because it's not going to be contradictory to God's word. Ever. Ever. Next. It will be done in a spirit of love, not in a spirit of judgment. A religious spirit will almost be judgmental.
Well, God told me, JD, let me just tell you, God told me,
and then I start reading his mail in this judgmental tone. Well, no, that's not it. Throw that person out and delete them from your friend list, right? That isn't it. If it's of the Lord, it is always going to be done in a spirit of love. Oh, hey, Bob, you know what? I love you. And God's called me to come talk to you about ABCXYZ. Would you like to talk about that? Yes or no? Yes? Okay. Man, listen, I'm going to walk with you through this. I'm going to be with you through this. We're going to get through this. I am tied at your hip until we get victory on the other side. Okay. That person's probably walking with the Lord. See the difference? So there's going to be a difference. Next. The insights the person share will connect with your spirit. There will be a spiritual connection. Even though you might not like the message might be hard. When that person speaks to you, you'll say, "Ugh, I hate that they're right, but they're right." Right? I don't like what they're saying, but what they're saying is true. Your spirit, if you're open, will bear witness with their spirit, and there'll be a connection. There'll be a connection. You won't like it necessarily if it's a hard word, but you'll know that it's true. God wants to speak to you. The struggle down here is real. Hearing God's voice is hard. It's noisy. It's loud. It's hard to get alone. But if we're his sheep, we're going to know his voice. And if somebody's speaking to you and it's not of God, your spirit will tell you, yeah, this person is, they need help. Right? You will be able to tell that. All right? Then, finally, this person who God may use to come into your life will have your best interest at mind. They will have your best interest at heart, man. They will really want your best interest. If this summer, man, you want to really hear from God, you want the struggle to get easier, ask the Lord, Lord, bring someone into my life that I can trust. Someone who's biblical, someone who's grounded, someone who's solid. Bring someone into my life to speak into my life your words, your truth, your direction. And man, Lord, I'll follow. Just protect me from the crazies, right? Because there's crazies. And let the real people, the godly people, come in and help me with my life. I tell you, you want to hear from God, God will speak to you. I promise you, he will. Next, another way he speaks. Just two more quickly. We'll be done. The other way is in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. The Bible says this. Now, in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Some people believe that dreams and visions ended when the scripture was completed. That's one view. However, I don't take that view. I believe that God can communicate and will communicate to some today through dreams and visions. Now, God's never done that with me. It's not the way God has spoken to me, but it is a biblical way. And he may choose to speak that way through you. He may give you dreams and visions. Again, those dreams and visions will not contradict Scripture. God's not going to call you to stand up and start declaring Jesus isn't the Messiah. Hello, that's not of God. Okay, he's not going to call you up and say, you know, baptism's unimportant. It's not of God. He's not going to call you up and say, you know, never go to church again because those people are all hippie. God's not going to call, you know, if you have that dream, that vision, you probably went to sleep watching the sci-fi channel, right? I mean, it's not the Lord, okay? But God will speak to you sometimes through dreams and visions. Now, when will those dreams and visions occur? Okay, God doesn't give us a protocol here. There's not an exact plan on when they'll happen. Could happen when you're going to sleep. Could happen while you're asleep. Could happen when you're wide awake. Could happen when you're in your car. Could happen when you're getting ready to have dinner. There's not a box to jump in and say when these dreams and visions may occur. But it is a fact, because God loves you and God cares about you and he knows the struggle is real about hearing his voice, he could give you a dream and a vision. Let me give you a true story. I was serving as executive pastor in Dayton, Ohio at Far Hills Community Church. It was a big church. We ran about 2,000, and big staff, and I was sort of the designated baptizer most of the time. I was the baptizer. Well, there was a doctor and his wife who did all the background stuff. They washed the robes, washed the towels. They cleaned up everything on the floor. They made sure everything was great. And so when I first got there and had done two or three baptisms, started talking to him and getting to know his story, and I said, Doc, I said, why do you do this ministry? Because he's a really smart guy. He was really a pretty good teacher, too. Could have done a lot of different things in the church. And he said, let me tell you why I do this, Terry. He said, when God saved me, my life changed forever. And when I got baptized, I found out who my friends were and who they were not. And I lost a lot of friends when I was baptized. And I always, always want to remember what God has done for me. And he said, and it also gives me a chance, listen, to pray for my other doctor friends. Okay, here's the rest of the story. He said, do you know so-and-so? Said this lady's name. Her name was Gail. None of you know her. He said, you know Gail? Yeah, you know her husband's a doctor. I said, yes. He said, I have been praying for him ever since I was saved that God would do something to intersect his life and change him. I said, well, what is it going to take? And he sort of laughed. He said, it's going to take a dream or a vision or a miracle or something, because he is so far from the Lord right now. He said, it's going to take something big. Okay, well, we'll pray. About 6 months later, I'm sitting in my office, and Gail comes in, and she's crying. And I said, Gail, what's going on? Her husband's name was Steve. And said, you're not going to believe what happened last night. I said, what happened? I said, Steve got saved. I said, praise the Lord. I said, how? Like to know how. I said, we've been praying for him. Me and Dr. Campbell, you know, we've been praying for him. And how did that happen? And said, he had a dream. I said, he had a dream? What, must have been a bad one. What did he dream? Said, you're not. He said, it was amazing. Said, he told me the dream, because when he woke up, he was in the floor shaking and crying. He said he dreamed that he died and that he went to hell. Now, I know you've heard these stories. I know you've heard them. I know this one firsthand. He said he had a dream that he died and went to hell. And the only solution for that destiny was the person of Jesus Christ. And he said Jesus appeared to him in that dream, declared who he was, and when Steve woke up weeping and crying, he woke me up and asked me, said, please, I've got to know how to know Christ. Steve was saved, shaking and crying on his floor, baptized the following week, and is still an active member of his local church. Amen? Amen. God will use dreams and visions to speak to your heart and your life if he needs to. Why? Because he's your loving Heavenly Father, and he wants to communicate to you because he cares about you that much. Then finally, in Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says this, thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And 2 Timothy 3:16, Scripture says that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in all righteousness. The Bible is God's eternal and forever available word to your heart and to your life. If you're walking through a day and you need to hear from the Lord and dreams and visions aren't happening, someone's not speaking into your life, the still small voice isn't happening, you can't get still and quiet before the Lord, you can open this book, and everything in it is God's word to you. Every single word. Everything here is God's word speaking to your life, speaking about you, speaking about Him, and wanting to be used to guide and direct your life. God's word is the forever eternal megaphone from the throne room of God into your life situation. You want to hear from God on a regular basis? Open His word. You want to know what God thinks about an issue? Open the word. You want to know what God, how Jesus would act in a certain situation? Open His word. You want to know what will happen if you obey God in a particular circumstance? I promise you, somebody already faced it. Open the word. Now, you need to have a plan about opening God's word. A couple things I want to suggest for you to do. We'll be done. Here it is. One, have a reading plan. If you have a Bible app, I guess every Bible app comes with a reading plan. I don't care what reading plan you have. It doesn't matter. As long as it takes you from Genesis to Revelation in a specific amount of time, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Get a reading plan. Get a reading plan you will follow. Get a reading plan you can follow. If you can't read 3 chapters a day, don't. Read 6 verses a day. I mean, know who you are, know what your tolerance is, but read through the Bible. Because here's what's going to happen. Are you ready for this? Now, mark me. Listen, hold me accountable to this. If you will get a reading plan and stick to it, when you start to face circumstances, situations, and issues, when you need God's direction and God's word and God's voice into your life, you will come across a reading that day or that week that will speak directly to that situation, and God will lead you according to His word. It will happen. It'll be miraculous. Yeah, I use the M word. It will be miraculous on how it works, because God's word is alive and it is real. Let me tell you what preachers know. Everybody who's ever preached on any kind of regular basis, here's what you know. Not just me, it's anybody. If you read the Bible, if you preach the Bible, you can stand up and be preaching about subject A or verses A, and you have a couple hundred people in the room, okay? And somebody over here is going to get spoken to about subject B, which was never addressed in subject A. Somebody over there is going to get spoken to about subject G, which wasn't addressed in subject A. Somebody back there is going to get spoken to in subject Z, that was never spoken about in subject A. Now, how does that happen? Because the person of the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies the Word of God exactly where you are and exactly what you need. It transcends the preacher's ability or inability. The Holy Spirit takes that word and applies it all over in different ways. How many of you have said in a service, don't raise your hand, I don't want to out you, but how many of you have said in a service and you've gotten mad because you thought somebody has squealed on you to the preacher? Anybody there? Somebody ratted me out. You get in the car and you look over at your wife. Did you call the preacher? Did you tell him about the fight we had this morning? Did you? Because in your mind, everything that was said was directed right at you. When in reality, if you go back and listen to the tape, nothing was directed at you. What happened? The Holy Spirit took God's word and applied it in your life in the way that you exactly needed. That's why Scripture talks about the foolishness of preaching, that it seems foolish to those who don't understand, those who are perishing. But to those who are being renewed, it's the words of life. You want direction in your life? Be under the preaching of God's word. Now, I'm not the only guy who does that. There's a lot of people all over that do that. And there's a lot of really good ones, too, by the way. And so if if I'm not the guy for you, find him. Because it's too important in your life for God to speak to you through his word. It's too important. If you just can't listen to me, man, I free you up. We're good. I'll see you in the restaurant and you can buy me coffee, right? I mean, we're good. Because it is more important that you sit under someone that you can listen to and have the Spirit of God speak to you than sitting here for whatever reason you're sitting in here. Your spiritual life is more important. You hearing from God is more important. So, my challenge for you, and then we're done. Summer's going to be gone fast. And all the teachers said, and all the students are even worse. Summer's going to be gone fast. I know that. So let's say roughly we have 60 days left. I'll be close, not exact. Let's say we have about 60 days left. Here's my challenge for you. Here's my challenge for you. If you choose to accept it, okay? Every day, don't guilt yourself out if you don't do it every day. Don't beat yourself up if you don't do it every day. This is the goal. Every day, position yourself to hear from God. Here's what you got to do. You got to get still and quiet. You have to ask God to speak. You got to have this in front of you, right? Listen to somebody preaching. I can give you some good suggestions. Ask the Lord to bring someone in your life to speak to you that's godly and grounded and biblical, right? And for the next 60 days, ask God to speak to your life about the direction of your life and the decisions that you're making. Ask God to speak to your life. Now, he's not just going to speak to your life selfish stuff, you know, God, give me the Powerball, right? I mean, that God's not into that. But he's into the gospel. So if you go to him and say, Lord, help me understand the gospel better. Speak to me about the gospel. He will. God, help me know you better. I don't even know if you're real, but if you're real, somehow let me know. Maybe he would speak to you about, you know, God, I've got these decisions to make. I don't know which way to go, and all these options seem to be good or all of them seem to be bad. Help me understand. Ask him. And for 60 days, avail yourself to be spoken to by your loving Heavenly Father. And let me tell you what will happen. If you do, two things are going to happen. You will hear from God. You will. And second, you'll never want to go backwards again. Your life will change forever. You are loved by your Heavenly Father. He wants to communicate with you more than you want to hear. Be still and know that I am God. He will speak to you because he loves you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pray with me if you will. I want to pray a prayer for you today. A blessing, if I can. I want to ask the Lord to do something in your life this summer that will cause you to never be the same. Father, I pray over these, your people. You love each and every one of them with an unbelievable love. Lord, you are their Heavenly Father, and you want to speak to them in a way that they can hear. Lord, we invite you to speak to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Like a loud roaring wind or in a still small voice we receive. Lord, we ask that you speak to us through others, godly balanced people. Lord, protect us from people who are a little bit off balance. But Father, the godly balanced people, those who are by your word we receive. And Lord, we ask that you speak to us. Father, we ask that you speak to us through dreams and visions. Guide and direct us, O Lord, in a way that would be pleasing to you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that each person here will avail themselves to your word. It is your eternal megaphone into our life. It is true. May we never think we can walk in a pleasing way before you without your word in our life. Help us not to buy that lie. So Lord, speak to us through your word. Father, bless these your people now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Man, I'm praying that God's going to do amazing things in your life in the coming days. Very quickly, ushers, if you could come quickly, we receive our morning tithes and offerings. If you're a guest, the only thing we want from you is this card. So guest, please just give us this. Name, address, phone number. Folks, don't forget prayer requests. I was praying for prayer requests this morning. We really do pray for you. If you give us your prayer request, we really, really do pray for you. So please write this down. If you cannot get this in the offering plate, please put it in the box as you leave. It'll be collected. It's typed up, and we pray for you throughout the week. So please, please, please let us know how to pray for you, okay? We give for three reasons. Jesus is Lord, the gospel's most important message in the world, and where Scripture teaches that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So we want your treasure in God's work and in God's kingdom. We give you the chance to do that. Father, as we receive tithes and offerings today, I pray people will give with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right? A couple of things for you. If you're a middle school or high school student, please take note of the middle of the bulletin. There's a lot of announcements for you, a lot of things going on. And so please take note of that. Ladies, I want to remind you, I don't know if one of the ladies want to mention this, but you guys are going to be going to Winter Park. That's right here. Yep. Claudia, yep. Okay. Great. Also, don't forget, Wednesday night, we've had some folks step up. We're going to do summer Wednesday night meals. So please come on Wednesday nights. It's a wonderful time. We also have adult Bible study. So getting back to God speaking to you through the study of God's word, if you'll come, you can come and eat and then come to Bible study. We'd love to have you. We're going through the book of Acts. A lot of great stuff happening in the book of Acts. So please come and be a part of that as well. Denise, there she is, okay? Thank you so much, Denise. For those of you who are new to Grace, this was one of our first ministries that we got on board with. It was helping to feed hungry students and families on the weekend. And we are so thankful to be a key player in that. Nothing should hurt your heart more than knowing children go home on Friday and they're not going to eat till Monday unless we help. And so, you know, we just want to help in that way, in every way that we can. Stay with me, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let me just say this. I love you. Thank you for being here. Bring somebody with you next week. The struggle is real. Listen, we understand. The struggle is real, hearing from the Lord. But he loves you and wants to speak to you. We're going to continue on next week, helping us struggle through life and find some victory on the other side. Amen? And let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today. And now, Father, as we go to work next week, live life and do what we do, Lord, when we sin, we're sorry. Please forgive us. Father, if we happen to do something good, decent, Lord, I pray we give all the glory to you. Father, thank you that we don't walk alone through this life, that the person of the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we have brothers and sisters around us. Thank you, Father, for that reality. And now, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless each and every person here. Give them the greatest week they've ever had. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you.